Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode is brought to you by a mattress with a name, and that name is Douglas. More than 200,000 Canadians trust their Douglas mattress. They trust it so much they sleep on it. I have tried a Douglas mattress, and it's incredibly comfortable. It's a high-quality product at a very affordable price. Comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
Where do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go, Gen 1? Welcome back to Canada Land. That was my Axl. It's better than Stephen Harper's Axl Rose.
Yeah, I guess so. That's not saying much, though.
No, that's Stephen Harper and myself ruining a perfectly good song. Jen Wong is back on Canada Land, this time for Shortcuts. And Jen Wong, you are a patron of Canada Land. Thank you. Let's disclose it. But Harper's band has a new drummer. There's always problems with your drummer. He had drummer problems. I like to just rock out to some Stephen Harper cover tunes in front of my George W. Bush still life paintings. I don't keep them here. The valuables are at home.
Yeah, I'm looking around. I don't see any George Bush in the studio.
Where do we go? Jen Wong, welcome back to Canada Land. Welcome to Canada Land Shortcuts. This episode of Canada Land Shortcuts is brought to you by Darcy Castleman, Ian Pearson, Lola Landekick, Nancy Zimmerman, Graham Stewart, Duncan Kinney, Anna Killen, Brian Poets, Sean Michaels, and Zach Greenberg. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We got a tour of their facilities in their downtown Toronto campus, and I was blown away by the heroic work that these people are doing. They are saving lives every day. I know people whose lives were saved, and they just really care about the dignity of the people who turn to them for help. Look, we talk a lot about these issues on Canada Land. We talk about the crisis that is claiming
20 lives every day in Canada to drug overdoses, but we don't give you a lot of options of what you can do about it. CAMH is an option. CAMH desperately needs resources that they directly put into their work, saving lives and turning people's lives around. Listen, May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. This is when they need your help the most. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope.
Tonight, the shocking truth behind the CIA's graphic torture of terror suspects.
We do not torture.
Oh, but America did torture, says the report.
The American spy agency set up torture chambers, used them, then lied about using them.
Canada was among those turning over to the Americans detainees captured by our soldiers in Afghanistan.
Today, the world learned exactly how often it used it and just how brutal it was.
So-called enhanced interrogation techniques.
That included things like waterboarding, depriving people of sleep for days on end.
Nudity. Ice baths, shackling in the cold, and more.
Quite horrible.
Yeah.
But for torture to suddenly be in the news, oh my God, they've been torturing people, and of course, oh my God, Canada's been complicit in this. It's not news, is it? I mean, we knew and we've known for years.
Yes and no. We've known for years, but we didn't really grasp all the gory details and the scope. And we didn't really know the ins and outs of who knew and who was trying not to know. And also, I think one of the big revelations to me is that they didn't get anything out of it, but they tried to lie about it. They tried to say, we caught bad guys, we saved American lives, when in fact, this report makes it quite clear. Nobody was saved. No good information came out of the torture sessions.
That's right. They lost all moral authority, and the information you get is no good because people will say anything.
Right.
But I knew that last week. I'm not against—
You did?
I did.
I'm not sure I did.
I didn't know all of these gory details, and I think that I'm not against the Senate doing a full transparent, you know, and if this indeed was full, but like trying to account for— over a decade of government-sanctioned torture. That is a necessary process that has to happen.
It wasn't necessarily going to happen. There was a big political fight behind the scenes, and all we got was the executive summary. We haven't seen, and we probably won't see, the full report.
Yeah, that there's a familiar ring to it, the internal
this
investigation.
This is what you're allowed to see.
Yeah, an institution investigating itself and then disclosing certain key findings. But okay, they. I'm glad that they did that, and it's not like I think that the news should not cover that came out. But from a Canadian perspective, we're suddenly filled with headlines. You know, Maher Arar is back in the news,
right.
And the fact that we allowed, we were totally complicit and allowed the CIA to use our airports, and that we knew what was going on, and that we used information that was gleaned, bad information that was gleaned from torture, and that we shared information with the Americans that led to people, that led to rendition, that led to torture. All of that was part of the public record, and I can't help but push back a little bit that, like, it's America that started this whole thing that's most guilty. Why do we need them to tell us that we were guilty when we knew it? And why do we need to be in an America? It's that same Canadian thing. Oh, the American said that Canada was complicit, so now we can finally have like a really open conversation and hold people to account. And finally, it gets picked up as the new news cycles do. You know, Trudeau is off, and the NDP is off banging their drums against Harper and saying, you know, we need to stop this and account for this. And it becomes a political event when, from our perspective, I don't think that we learned anything. There was a teeny tidbit in the Star about one terrorism suspect who called another terrorism suspect from Canadian soil. As far as I can tell, that is the sum total of the revelation of the news that, from a Canadian perspective, we've gotten out of this. So, you know, like, it's back to that same issue of why is the media afraid to make an issue out of something? Why do they have to wait for some external body to release a report or do a poll or something?
Well, I think we have to wait because we didn't know the gory details. And we couldn't have known the gory details because this was classified.
Mm-hmm.
And it, actually, in the report, they talk about the CIA selectively leaking stuff to journalists that would make the CIA look good. And nobody went after them or prosecuted the leaked information. So this was all part of a conspiracy. And the media went along with it because when you get a secret document or leaked, you get really excited and it is news, so you get it, but really you're being manipulated to show a certain picture of what's going on. So I disagree with you. I think that this CIA report is actually full of really interesting stuff. And yes, Maher Arar and the others are back in the news, but in a different way. Now, we saw them before as, oh my God, this happened to this poor guy and it's unbelievable. But now we get the whole picture. It's sort of like we had one guy in focus. Now we have the panoramic shot of what was happening under CIA administration. And I think the New York Times makes the point that the CIA was a spy agency. They weren't really in charge of torture and prisoners. And so they didn't really have training or whatever you want to call it. They just went in and they manipulated the forces, the bureaucratic forces, to give them a free hand. They did whatever they wanted, and they were telling people, you don't actually want to know this. When George Bush asked something, they don't want to know this. And actually, within, they've all written books, right? Bush has written a book. Condi Rice has written a book. And so now people are going back and looking at exactly what they said, and it doesn't. They don't agree. So
yeah. I mean, and that is, like, just worth saying, regardless of the circumstances. When I hear on the news this morning people digging up sound clips of W saying, we don't torture— actually, you did.
Yeah.
That is an instructive.
So it's important.
It is.
And I know you feel like, there's nothing new in this, but I think it is really important to know all the harm that was done. Can you imagine if you were waterboarded and they go, well, you know, we already knew somebody was waterboarded, so what's another guy being waterboarded? You wouldn't like that.
No.
I think every body counts, every bit of torture counts, and it all needs to be recorded. And that's why journalism is important. We don't just say, well, yeah, it happened, so what? We actually do want to go back and rake through it and parse it and look at it and report it. And it is good because people are writing new stories.
And forget about what I think about it. Like Maher Arar was on Twitter today and he wasn't saying, oh, why do you suddenly care about me now? It's like, oh, good. People today, for whatever reason, care about this. So, you know, he was tweeting about the issue itself and not the meta issue. He was tweeting about what torture, it tells you so little of actual information, but it tells you volumes about the torture.
Exactly.
So he's like, you know, anybody who this is their issue, fine. The news has turned, you know, it's come around.
It's really important.
It is.
I think it's really important. It was always important, but that's why I'm just objecting to you saying, so what else is new? I think it's really important. And, you know, these guys are war criminals, and right now they're in power and they're not touchable. So, but for the record and for history, we know now they are war criminals.
You could argue that there are a certain set of ingredients that make up a great songwriter. Universal appeal, longevity, relevance, a signature style, a creative voice. Tom Petty has every one of those ingredients and can lay claim to being one of the finest songwriters of our time.
When you're writing Free Falling, do you know in your bones, you kind of go, man, this is a big song.
And I knew that was a good one because I played it all night when I went home. I just kept, you know, I rarely play myself. And I went home and I just kept playing that track.
I'm Gian Gomeshi in Malibu, California.
So that was Gian Gomeshi.
Yeah. Miss his voice, don't you?
It's odd to hear his voice. Yeah. But that was him in the summer, a feature interview with Tom Petty that we just learned, thanks to Kevin Donovan at The Star. He was paid by Tom Petty's label $5,000.
He wasn't.
The CBC was paid.
Yeah. His expenses were covered.
Right.
He didn't get $5,000 to put in his bank account.
No, he did get a per diem, somewhat less than that.
Yeah.
But essentially, money changed hands.
Money changed hands to do the story.
To do the story for Q. And there's one defense there that, and this is something that people have made, you know, well, you, the Toronto Star, who are you to point fingers about expenses being covered when you're travel writers? You're, you know, what is happening in the wheels section? What is happening in all of the... We have different standards for lifestyle, culture, and service journalism than we do for hard news. Of course, there's two main distinctions. One is that this is the public broadcaster and they actually have rules about this. The second is that interview also aired on The National.
Hmm.
which is a hard news show.
Well, just because the star does things they shouldn't do doesn't mean that when they talk about what the CBC shouldn't do, it negates it, it neutralizes it. It doesn't.
So do you think that there's an argument to be made to defend that practice?
No, I think it's a terrible practice. I don't think journalists should take anything to cover a subject or a topic. No, you should pay your own way. And and maybe not for a movie ticket. I mean, maybe movie critics go in and see a movie and they don't pay. They flash their ID. And I think that's small enough. I think if you get under $10 or $15, I'm okay with that. It used to be $5. That shows you how old I am. that we really had a rule at the newspaper, I think the Gazette. Uh-huh. You couldn't take anything more than $5.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd let you take a baseball cap. But after that, no, you can't. Because the perception is that you're getting bought. Whether or not you're getting bought, you don't want that. You want to stay neutral. So I think it's terrible that they took it. What's really embarrassing is that the CBC can't even afford to send somebody on a trip. But
yeah.
That's a whole other subject. But they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Well, as the story unraveled in The Star, it was clear that they've done this before. I mean,
yeah. And apparently they take free hotels and airfare to go to another city to produce their show because they say nice things about the other city. It's like, oh, my God.
I was surprised. And, I'm not easily shocked by this stuff. And I know that every newspaper out there, every news organization has these kinds of deals going. But somehow, even after everything that we've learned about that show, that was one area where I thought, I was still able to be surprised by that.
Yeah.
And part of it is that, that show became CBC's flagship arts and culture broadcast that every musician in the country wanted to get on. And I know a lot of people from the music community who are just disgusted. And there's two stories. The Star's been good on this because not only did they uncover this $5,000 payment, but they also were able to cover how there's sort of a network of Gameshi's lawyer
agent,
and all of their other clients would get on the show as well. And then, when Lights album came out and Gameshi is the manager of Lights, it was all over the CBC. And when his book came out, it was all over. So there's a lot of stuff like that coming out now as well. And I some of it actually did surprise me. And it is Tom Petty we're talking about. It's not like Tom Petty bought his way onto Q.
Well, I hate to say it, but I didn't even know who he was.
Tom Petty is somebody who probably—
he's like a big deal, right?
He could get
who
onto
knew?
Q. Yeah.
Who knew? But the point is— if Tom Petty refused to go into a studio to do this and insisted it had to be face-to-face, Q should have said, well, sorry, we don't have the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And bye. And there's 100 other musicians that want to come on. So you don't have to. You don't have to do this. I don't see the point, especially since I don't know who Tom Petty is.
You don't know Tom Petty?
No, I don't.
Refugee?
No.
No? Okay.
Sorry.
You know what? I don't even think it's like that. I think that the CBC probably would have paid anyhow, but it's just a sweetener.
They wouldn't pay.
They went
and asked. And
yeah.
They said, no, we don't have the budget for that.
Uh-huh. It's the perception as much as anything else. So what if I don't have $5,000 to, or does that affect the way you cover it? And if you came and, if Tom Petty paid $5,000 and then somehow it led, does that impinge upon CBC or Gameshi's ability to, give him bad review? Or does it mean that he gets more praise? I mean, all of this stuff.
Well, it was a pretty effusive introduction.
Yeah, but which one isn't,
But yeah, exactly. Which one isn't? So just do another effusive.
If you want to be clear of all of this stuff, you just don't take a dime.
Yeah, you don't take a dime.
But everybody takes money.
No, not everybody does.
Everybody?
No.
Who doesn't?
That's not true.
Who doesn't?
I think a lot of reporters don't take a dime. A lot of radio people don't take a dime. A lot of TV people don't.
I'm talking about organizations.
Oh, organizations. Oh, okay.
Right. And a lot of the places that have policies that don't take a dime, those policies only apply to their staff members. But then you talk to the freelancer, the freelance travel writer, the freelance film critic, or film writer, and they would tell you, well, for what you're paying me to do this stuff, there's absolutely no way I could do it.
So I don't see how you could be a reporter and take it. I don't see how you could get a free trip and write about it. You just can't. That's like going to someone's, your friend's house for dinner and writing a review of the dinner. Like how, right?
I would do that, but only to Corey Mintz. you know what? I think that like whatever you're going to do, you got to disclose it.
Yes, and they don't because it's wrong and it's embarrassing. And readers will go, well, that's not worth the paper it's written on.
That's the thing.
That's why they don't.
If you're not comfortable disclosing it, there's probably a reason. You probably shouldn't be doing it.
I'm not talking freelance. Freelance, the whole world is, you know, the rates haven't gone up in 30 years and they're struggling and they're starving.
But when you say you're talking about freelance, there's a whole generation that is essentially freelance.
I know.
This stuff is only getting more and more problematic because you know, it's tempting even if you've got a full-time job and benefits to take those types of deals. You know, when you are a freelancer or you're going from contract to contract, and meanwhile, you have, if you are published in the New York Times or you know, the Globe and Mail, the CBC, you have the voice of this major institution, but you are getting compensated so poorly that it is a way for organizations to sort of hijack that voice. There's a weakness in the whole machinery that they can slip into.
And the big organizations are just pretending they don't see it.
So I wanted to talk about these special features that the Globe has been running. And they don't look like other Globe stories. They're very big and pretty. And if you look at them in the paper, they get huge. They look like magazine stories in the paper. And if you look at them online, this thalidomide story and Eddie Snowshoe, this First Nations guy who hung himself in solitary confinement, very serious stories and very important stories that the Globe gives this kind of luxe treatment to.
Frances Kelsey is a Canadian heroine. A 100-year-old is lauded in the United States, but few at home have ever heard of her. More than 50 years ago, she almost single-handedly averted disaster by refusing to approve thalidomide for use in the United States.
It would be terrible if I had passed it. I'd have that all my life hanging over me. It was a terrible experience, but it did bring much better laws into effect.
President John F. Kennedy awarded her the highest civilian award in the U.S. Meanwhile, in Canada, lack of such a staunch champion had dramatic consequences.
There's video and pictures, and it's fading in and out, and it scrolls weirdly.
I have trouble with it.
They're hard to navigate, and they're hard to find. And these are the banner stories that they're really thumping, and I'm sure are going to be submitted for newspaper awards.
That's right.
When you try to Google them, because they're sort of formatted differently, like I was able to get all of these follow-up stories to the thalidomide story, but not the thalidomide story. Like it's not indexing properly. It all follows this, what was it called, Snowfall or something? The New York Times.
Yes, I saw that.
They did this beautiful multimedia treatment. But
an avalanche, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was of two minds about it, you know?
I found it really annoying in the end. I read that story about the avalanche and it just took so long and I think nobody died or maybe one guy died and I thought, well, that was a lot of trouble. I mean, I don't mean to be cold-hearted.
Text is pretty effective.
Long.
You know, like just words work pretty well.
They had nice graphics, but I thought, well, is this going to end with 100 people dead? It didn't.
No.
So I felt kind of let down.
That's it, is that the story has to somehow, and the thalidomide story, like that's a really good news story. And apparently they're picking up on some work that was done by the British press. And there was also like a movement from the thalidomide survivors that the Globe is picking up on. But you know, whatever, all credit due to Ingrid Peretz for writing this thing, which totally was like, you know, the Globe gets results. This led to the government, you know, unanimous support to compensate the survivors whose mothers took this drug and were born with deformities. And the government has just treated them terribly. And, you know, an apology is forthcoming, it seems. Adequate payment is forthcoming. And the Globe was not afraid in this instance to even like beat a drum and like Andrea Picard followed up with, no, it has to happen now and the money has to come out now and the apology has to happen now. So that's great that they're using the masthead but I still found like, why is this so long? And the actual newsworthy parts of it, I could have read in like three paragraphs.
But it takes so long to scroll down because of all the stuff they've hung on it like Christmas tree ornaments.
It's fancy.
Yeah, it's very fancy. So, you know, they're trying. They're trying to get fresh eyes and readers who don't normally, you know, maybe you and I both like to read fast and we don't want all this junk we have to leapfrog over to get to the text. I personally like to just read fast. And then if I want to click on something, you know, a link, I'll do that. But don't interrupt me. I don't know how you feel, but sometimes when I'm reading something and there's a link, I'm sort of tempted to click on it, but I know that I just want to read through first.
Yeah.
And but when they don't do that, when they start embedding all this stuff in it, I find it kind of ADD-ish, you know?
It's very distracting. Yeah, there's that. And like, it takes you away from just, like...
The storyline.
I want the storyline.
Yeah.
And when the story isn't, you know, it sort of presents you like this is a rich documentary with sound and pictures and video and this and that and mood, you know? They really try to create a mood with these little fancy effects. But when it's like, it's just a very clearly, like the emotions of the thalidomide, like, yeah, you had me in paragraph two. This is wrong. It's an outrage. And nothing really shocking or revealing came out past that. But I was distracted by the prestige of the whole enterprise. And I also couldn't help, and this is something that, you know, no casual reader, only somebody I think working, you know, in the field would probably obsess about. But like, I felt this was very expensive, you know?
Yes. I think it's National Newspaper Award time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. In an editorial meeting, they're sitting down, the top people are sitting down going, okay, we got to win some awards. I mean, I think it's great to start bringing in photography and video and the documents are right there. But maybe they could offer two versions, one for like old-fashioned people who just want to read and then for people who are totally distracted and only have a attention span of 4 seconds, they can put in the other one.
It was very Globe and Mail-y to me too, because they, as important as the stories were, if you're choosing, you know, we're going to pick a few stories to really put our resources towards, in their way, they were very safe stories.
Well, what would have been a dangerous story?
Well, to do something on torture a month ago might have been.
Yeah. And to go after certain people in the Canadian power structure that enabled it. That would have been gutsy.
Yeah.
But to, you know, stand on the side of the people who are deeply oppressed, yeah, there's no risk.
Yeah. It's better than the first time I saw one of these special reports, which was, you know, Ian Brown.
The lobster.
Reporting on the lobster.
Following a lobster around. And then I remember reading that and I thought, you paid that much for your lobster dinner? And all they do is boil it? Like, come to my house. I know where to get good lobsters, giant lobsters, and it doesn't cost anything.
How do you like to do a lobster?
You just boil it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or I could stir fry it Cantonese style with scallions and ginger.
Ginger and scallions.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Well, have me over for a lobster.
Okay.
I'll blog about it afterwards. I'll give you a good review.
No. You go to Corey Mintz's house.
That was Canada Land Shortcuts. I hope you enjoyed it. You can reach me at jesse@jessebrown.ca. Jan, where can people find you?
I'm at St. Thomas University in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Come on, yeah. Is there a Twitter account? A column?
I have a website, www.janwong.ca.
And my website is canadalandshow.com. The crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. I produce this show along with Andrew Norton, and I am taking a week off, so tune in on Monday for the best of Canada Land. If you like this show, support it. Where do we go now? This episode is brought to you by Douglas. If you know of a better Canadian mattress at a better price point, well, you're just a liar and you're lying to me right now. No, Douglas is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. I know this mattress. I trust this mattress. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.